Good evening, everyone. Amen. Good to see everybody. You can make your way back to your seats. Glad that you are here tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I know we got a little bit of rain. Hopefully that's moving on so they can do some of the things that they want to do for VBS, but I'm excited about that. I am a little remiss that tonight is our last night with midweek service. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to come together, but I am excited about life groups starting up, so it's going to be good. And I just want to say how thankful I am for both Pastor Kento and Pastor John the past 2 weeks delivering the word on Wednesday night. So I'm thankful for their ministry and leadership. Really good messages both. I was able to go back and watch that. Thank you for giving me that the opportunity, kind of finishing out some engagements that we had already scheduled before being elected. And so finishing a lot of those and done, and most all the other ones I've kind of extracted myself out of. And so I'm thankful to be here tonight. And man, we had an incredible service on Sunday. Anybody? Wonderful back to school bash weekend. Again, thank you to our Next Gen department. As far as the after service activities, I'm not so sure I'm as a big of a fan as those. I felt like as I went into that, getting a pie in the face, I just closed my eyes because I didn't want to see any of you differently. Although I will say, there were a couple of pies that had, they just had a little extra speed on them. And so I didn't feel like I've been here that long to make you that unhappy with me. But evidently, I hope you got it off your chest in the form of a pie instead of in some other form, like an email or angry text message. So I'll take a whipped cream pie any day as for that. But I also just want to share with you that First Praise, the Pittmans, they had a back-to-school bash this Sunday, and they had 100 visitors and baptized 4 people in Jesus' name. How incredible is that? Praising God tonight with them. Incredible, incredible. And the pie in the face fundraiser, we raised $2,000 for Move the Mission on Sunday. So that's an incredible thing. Wonderful for that. And again, tonight is our last midweek, and we've been in a series, We Are First Church, and it's been mostly practical. But I got to be honest with you, this week I've been reading a lot of J.T. Pugh and V.A. Gidrose. So I'm a little fired up tonight. And I'm excited to speak tonight, and I've got a burden about what God is doing in our church, and I want us to be ready for it. I want us to be ready for it personally and collectively. I want our church to be ready for what God is going to continue to do. So tonight, if you want to stand for the reading of the Word of God, one scripture to begin in Titus chapter 3. Good luck finding it. It's a little one. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. In the English Standard Version, reads like this: He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of, in these two words, regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration and renewal. My title tonight is Wells and Cisterns. Wells and Cisterns. You can be seated. We need to not only be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, which I would say is our initial receiving of the Holy Spirit, but we need to be renewed. Or we talk about this, I was renewed in the Holy Ghost. We say things like, I was refilled with the Holy Ghost. People use this term for additional experiences in God aside from our initial experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. There's many terms that preachers before us have used over and over again. There's a term that I want to use tonight that we need to be in, and we need to be soul winners. Soul winners. I grew up hearing that. You need to be a soul winner. But tonight I'm burdened because I think there's a danger in us, in any mature Christian, to become stagnant or complacent. We've talked about this on these Wednesday nights. We've talked about what needs to happen to prepare for the other people that are coming. We've talked about what it means to be a member, as in a member in a body and not just a member of a country club. We've talked about how to fight against this term churchianity and how to be true Christians and not just be complacent. But Tonight, I want to emphasize the need for the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Everything that we do, everything that we've talked about means nothing if the Holy Spirit is not at the center of our church, if the Holy Spirit is not at the center of our desires. Otherwise, we will become a country club with systems and processes that pull people in. But we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit. J.T. Pugh said it like this: the soul-winning church is a church that does not just have one soul winner, but the entire church is living in an atmosphere of anticipation, preparation, power, and it's a way of life. Every saint must first be continually renewed in the Holy Ghost, finding that undimmed, undiluted first love. V.A. Gidrose had this to say: a man who claims only an initial experience of the Holy Ghost will soon become a stagnant pool covered with the green slime of bitterness and restless with the larvae of materialism, thus becoming a breeding place for discontent. While by contrast, those being consistently renewed are a refreshing fountain for thirsty souls. So these two words in our key text, regeneration and renewing. We see in Acts 2:38, one of our favorite passages of scripture, the new birth experience, right? What are on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the people spoke in tongues, and the Bible says it was noised abroad and people heard and they said, "What is this?" And Peter stood up in the crowd and said, This is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. He said, "They're not drunk," and he said, "This is the new birth experience," and they received the Holy Spirit. That's the regeneration, the regenerating of our soul, the regenerating of who we are as people. Isaiah 28:12, King James Version says, "To whom he said, 'This is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." It's the rest of the believer, the regeneration of our spirit. It's the rest for the believer. And then in Titus 3:5, it's the washing of regeneration. But then also we see Acts 2:40, we see the other word I highlighted in our key text, renewal, the renewing. Acts 2:40 says, "And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.'" Now we see that they had received the Holy Spirit. So we don't mean save yourself as in you can have salvation within your own merit. What he's saying is now that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to save yourself. You need to make sure that you're doing everything that you can to be saved from an untoward generation, a crooked generation. We see again the rest in Isaiah 28:12, but also when I'm talking about renewing, we also see that it's the refreshing. Not only is the Holy Spirit our rest, but it's also the refreshing. Titus 3:5, again, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. As people of the name of Jesus, as those washed by his blood, as those regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, we must not be forgetful of what God has done. The danger that we have today, those of us, and I speak this on a Wednesday night because I understand that primarily it's those of us that call First Church home, but the danger for you here tonight is that you become forgetful of what God has done. In the Old Testament, we see this happen, that Moses penned these words about the forgetful nature of the people of God in Deuteronomy. Look at this, Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. "He found them in a desert land, in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled them." And again, let me just paint this picture. Moses was speaking of the literal. The people of Israel went through literal wilderness and literal desert, but they did it to serve as a type for us. So as Moses talks about the literal wilderness they walked through, we can see within ourselves the wilderness of sin and depravity and things that we must endure. So read this, but read this to yourself as well, because we're going to see a parallel in the New Testament. But Moses says about God, "He found them, the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled them. He cared for them. He kept them as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign God was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, curds from the herd, and milk from the flock, the fat of lambs," and he goes on and on. But look at verse 15. "But they grew fat, Sometimes it's not good to quote scripture to your spouse. There's a witness. But Israel grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. But what he's saying here is there was an unintended consequence of the blessing of God. You grew lazy. For they forsook the God who made him. They scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods they had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw it and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a, and doesn't this sound like the world we're living in, they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. He wasn't talking about the world. Who was he talking about? The Israelites, us. Paul writes a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, warning against idolatry. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. He's referring to Deuteronomy, all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate this for the same spiritual food and all drank from the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. Stop and think about that for a moment. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. That strikes me. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us. Think about that. How powerful is it? Could it be that the entire reason the Israelites went through what they went through was to be an example for you and I on what it means to follow after Christ and live after Christ? Now these things took place as examples for us. Why? That we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. He continues on. In verse 11 it says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fail, lest he fall. This last verse, the culmination, Deuteronomy, Moses talking about the transgressions of God's people, and now Paul writes it. He says, listen, they went through this and they did this as an example for us. So what the piece of advice, the final piece of advice he says in all of this, anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Now what does that mean? If you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Let's look at that. Because what we see is that the result of these admonitions that we need to learn from this. It's an admonishment, what? To not put reliance on our own strength. Us, if we think that we're standing in a firm place, if we suppose ourselves to be firm in the love of God and the knowledge of his truth, that's us, the one that regards himself as secure. The danger is that we will therefore be ready to rely on my own strength. Because I've done the right things, because I'm in church, because I'm in the body of Christ. So now I know what to do. I'm going to rely on myself. So again, take heed lest we fall into sin, into idolatry, or any other form of iniquity. A confidence in our own security is no evidence that we are safe. Your confidence is bad evidence that you're safe. Think about it with me. Your confidence is poor evidence that you are safe. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have confidence in the Lord. What I'm saying is to each and every one of us, to the one that's been here for just a few weeks, to the one that has been on these pews for years, all of us need to look unto Jesus and at the same time say, God, I cannot rely on my own strength. I cannot rely on my own ability. Every single day, I need you, God, because the minute I get confident, I can fall. The minute I'm so confident in my own ability, in my own strength, I will fall. To go further, such a confidence may be the best evidence that you're in danger. Maybe our confidence in ourselves and our lack of reliance on God is an evidence that we are in danger. Those that feel the most safe, the ones that are actually the most safe, are those that feel weak and vulnerable. Their need, have a need of divine aid and strength. It's so counterintuitive to feel weak. But I just want to tell you, you need to embrace the weakness of your humanity to say, God, if I'm going to be strong, it will be because of divine strength, divine aid, not because of my physical strength, not because of my ability to put on a good mask. No. Do you know who is standing before you today? A weak man that has been saved by a powerful God. And I have confidence in that. If I have any confidence today, it's confidence in my weakness, because in my weakness, he is made strong. So today, yes, you can be a weak man. Yes, you can be a weak woman in your flesh, because through God you can have strength and power. But I have to be careful if I get too confident, lest I fall. That confidence I have could be good evidence that I'm in danger, poor evidence that I'm safe. Everyone, we should all be admonished that we are in danger of falling into sin. We must embrace this idea that we need to be renewed. Not just the initial regeneration of our spirit. You need to be renewed tonight. You need to be renewed in your spirit. These passages highlight the same truth that those who have been given the most by God, some have the greatest responsibility, have the greatest possibility of falling away from being lazy and complacent. Oh, we can't be lazy with good church. You know what can happen when you have good church? You can get lazy. Why? Because church is good and everything feels good and everything is going well. So I can get comfortable in that. I can get complacent in that. You know what? I'm so happy that we had a full house on Sunday with one service. But the worst thing that I could do is say, okay, I want a full church, so let's go to one service. No, I'm saying we need two services, because we've got to put more people into this building. And you know what? We've got to build a new building, because we can't be complacent. Place it with just a big enough church. Oh, our church is big enough to pay a pastor's salary. No, that can't be the motivation. We've got to say, God, I want your spirit. It's not my strength. It's got to be about you. So if we're going to have more people being regenerated by the power of God, then we that are here have to be continually renewed by his presence. You need to be regenerated and renewed. Oh, God, we need to be renewed by your spirit. So what is renewal? You may have heard this phrase. We go from glory to glory. We go from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Aren't you thankful tonight? So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. We don't become God. We are called to reflect his glory. King James says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Amplified says, and we all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So that means that there is a continual renewing of our spirit that needs to take place. We need to go. What does it mean to go from glory to glory? You know what I think we mistakenly look at that as? Is we say, oh, glory to glory. That means good thing to good thing. Good thing to good thing. No, no, no. It's saying you need to reflect the image of Christ more and more and more. That requires more of you. That requires more self-sacrifice. That requires looking in that mirror and saying, God, how can I reflect your glory more? We need to go from glory to glory. That means less of me and more of you. That's a continual refreshing and renewing of our spirit. For a moment, let me paint a picture. Compare yourself to a man who has just fallen off the edge of a cliff into the raging waters of this present age, careening towards the eternity that awaits. A drowning man will clutch at any object to keep him on the surface while trying to keep his head above water. I would say that that initial receiving of the Holy Ghost was a welcome limb to save us from drowning, to save us from being carried down the river, supporting us and rescuing us from death. However, we've been in the stream for a while. We can't just stay there. We have to be willing to leave the branch to step on a log and be more secure. Renewal demands that we let go. Listen to me. Renewal in Christ demands that we let go of dependence on past experiences. We have to release our grip on our initial baptism. We have to release our grip on what used to be. We have to release our grip on the things that God has done previously, that we may swim towards the proverbial log that God has for us next. We must embrace the crisis of being willing to give away what we might have to gain something even more. That's a principle of heaven. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Is heaven any poorer for God giving of himself? No, of course not. The opposite is true. Heaven is richer because he gave. There's a principle that is established. We get by giving of ourself. Matthew 10, verse 39, and I'm moving quickly. Matthew 10, 39, the Amplified Bible says it this way. Whoever finds his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. And whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. That is life with me for all eternity. What am I saying? I am so thankful for the past. My library is filled with books from amazing men of the past that speak to me even now from the grave and words that I can read and things that I can do. I'm so thankful for the heritage spiritually and physically that we have in this church. I'm so thankful for victory, but I also need to say, God, but I need to be renewed today. I can't just look back to the past and hold it with a clutch that says this is where my strength comes from. No, my strength is found today. My strength is found in my renewing today. Yes, the past is wonderful, but I need to say, Lord, I have to let go of some things so that I can move forward and grasp what you're doing now today. I want to proclaim the wonderful things happening today. New people are not going to be saved by just what God did in our church 20 years ago. They're going to be saved because of what he's doing right now today. And you are a part of that story. You are a part of the souls that will come into this place and be saved by the power of God because what God is doing today. But if we're going to see them, we have to be renewed. We have to be renewed. If we are renewed in the spirit, we will talk of the power we have now, what God is doing now, and the things that are to come. So my title tonight, Wells and Cisterns. I press you with this tonight. I press you with these examples. I press you with this admonition. I exhort you tonight that we need to be renewed by the Spirit of God, that we cannot just, as the man almost drowning, just cling to the same experience, but God has more for you. God wants you to go from glory to glory. God wants you to mature. God wants you to move forward, and God wants you to do some incredible things. So why? Because you will either be a well or a cistern. A well or a cistern. What's the difference? Well, a well has a source within itself and flows ever upward and outward. A well refreshes its surroundings with cool, refreshing, life-giving water. Jesus spoke of these wells in John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's a well. A well has a source within itself. But what is a cistern? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. A cistern has all the possibilities of being a well except for the inward supply. The inward supply is gone. In this case, the cistern of the empty soul has forsaken the fountain of living water. And the walls, when they are no longer wet, when there's no longer water within them, what happens to those walls? Those walls become cracked by dryness. They neglect and dryness, they become cracked with dryness and neglect and self-hewn philosophy, so that even when they are filled by some external supply, as they must be to possess any water at all, the water is lost into the black depths around them. These different cisterns, these things just lie motionless, and they wait for the satisfaction of some spiritual well to overflow again and just bring a little water into the depths of their abyss. Peter said this in 2 Peter 2:17, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever." He goes on in verse 21 with a dangerous verse, "For it would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them." So I bring this, I know this is a lot for a Wednesday night, but I felt pressed in my spirit to close out our midweek time together with an admonishment to us, because the truth is, you will either be a well or a cistern. You will either be a well or a cistern. Just imagine with me for a moment this contrasting scene that would unfold. Imagine our church right now, our sanctuary, a field, and every person either a well or a cistern, a hole that has been dug into the field that is our sanctuary. Just imagine what would unfold if every person in this room first was a cistern. Imagine with me. When the water of the Word of God and the Spirit of God is poured out, yes, it would fill every void in the room, but nothing would escape this sanctuary. And not only that, but every amount of water poured in would leak into useless ground through the cracks of our souls. But if every person a well, if every person a well, then there is water springing up within you as well. Because church was never meant to be a place for your bucket to be filled. The church is a place that we can be sent from to execute a purpose in our world. As the New Testament states it, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And they went forth everywhere the Lord was working with them. So I come to you tonight to say that it is our responsibility to produce enough water from within ourselves, that our spirit, combined with the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, as it were, over a field, to pour out through the services we experience, that not, it would not just be something that fills everyone in this room, but no, the water that is welling up within each one of us as a well, combined with the Word of God, combined with the Spirit of God, what would happen is a flood would begin to burst out of the doors of this sanctuary, but it wouldn't just stay here. It would begin to cascade into the streets, and that the Spirit of God would direct it, and that it would flow into every highway, every thoroughfare, every alleyway, preparing the way and convincing souls, where is this water coming from? I need to experience this, because again, this is the kind of water that once you drink, you will never be thirsty again. So I want to know, is there somebody tonight that would be willing to say, "Yes, oh Lord, let me be a well. Let me have eternal water springing up within me, that when the Word of God goes forth, it overflows in my life. It overflows in my work. It overflows wherever I go. And wherever I go, there's water following me, where people can say, what is that? What is that? That I might partake. Oh Lord, let us be a well." Will you stand with me tonight? Will you stand with me tonight? I bring this to you as strongly as I can. And I know it's a Wednesday, and this may be a different delivery than what you're used to for a Wednesday night from me thus far. But I'm so stirred in my spirit, because what a danger it would be if we have great church, but we're full of cisterns. What a danger it would be if I myself can be satisfied being filled with water, but all I am is a cracked and dry cistern. Yeah.
that nothing would escape me, that yes, I may be full on Sunday, but by Tuesday I'm empty again. Why? Because there's no water within me to well up to do anything with it. We can have a full sanctuary, but if we're cisterns, we'll have a full sanctuary and a dry city. But oh Lord, today help it. Help every person here. I tell you that because I tell you there is a river here for you today. There is a river here tonight on a Wednesday night. After a long day of work, there is a refreshing river that can flow today. John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Mark 9 and 23, Jesus said unto him, if you thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Acts 1 and 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I wonder if there's anybody here on a Wednesday night that would say, Lord, I just need a refreshing. Lord, I need a renewal in my spirit. Oh, Lord, I don't want to be a cistern. I don't want to be a cracked and dry well that has no water within it. But Lord, let me be a well. Spring up within me a well of living water. Lord, that when I come into this place, I will overflow into every area of my life. We need to be overflowing into our families. We need to be overflowing into the people around us. We need to be overflowing into our children. But if all I am is a cracked and dry cistern, I'll have nothing to give. I'll have nothing to gain because all I am is dry and empty. Oh Lord, we need renewal tonight. Oh Lord, we need the renewing of your spirit. Lord, we need the renewing of your presence. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Help us tonight. There is a river for you here today. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It works in us. Again, I read my key passage tonight, Titus 3, 5. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Before we move any further or dismiss tonight, I want us just to begin to pray together. Because we need both a regeneration and a renewal. We need a renewal of the Spirit of God. We are called to go from glory to glory. So tonight, I'm calling you to go deeper in your walk with God. I'm calling you to not be complacent. I know you've been saved. I know you have good spiritual disciplines. I know you have all the right things in place. But what does it mean for you to go from glory to glory? That doesn't just mean good thing to good thing. No, what it's talking about is reflecting the love of Christ more. It's reflecting the attributes of Christ more. It's giving up some things that maybe you could have done a year ago, but now you're going from glory to glory and God is calling you to more. Because if we don't, we read it, the Israelites, it says all of the wonderful things that God did, and yet it says they grew fat. They grew fat on the things of God, on the manna of God, on the honey of God. They grew fat on those things because they became complacent. They became complacent, but Lord, I don't want to grow in a spiritual way. I don't want to grow so dependent on what you've done before that I'm not willing to embrace what you want to do now, because God wants to do a new work. I know that you've invited people before. I know you've done it for years, but I'm asking tonight, are you willing to be refreshed in his spirit? Not refreshed just for your own gain, but refreshed that way the water, the holy water that comes from the Lord can be a fountain welling up within us as a well, not a cistern. Wells and cisterns. Are you a well tonight or a cistern right now? Could we just begin to pray all across this place? I have not taken long because I want us to begin to have a moment of prayer together. Because if I'm not going to be a cistern, if I'm going to be a well, it's going to be because I've made a commitment. Because coming to church is not enough to receive what God has for us. Coming here and being in attendance is never enough. I'm not exempt from this. If as the pastor of this church, all I do is come and deliver something on Sunday, I will become dry and cracked and barren in my own spirit. And I will have nothing for from which to deliver from. So in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, I pray that we would be committed, Lord, to that constant refreshing, Lord, that constant renewal. Oh God, I pray you would help us, Lord, tonight to understand, Jesus, that you don't want to just regenerate us once. You don't want to just fill us once, but you want us to be on fire for you, to be soul winners for you, to be renewed by your presence, to be refreshed in your presence. Oh yes, I believe there's someone here tonight that's in need of a refreshing from the Spirit of God. You need to be refreshed. If that's you, would you just lift your hands to heaven? And I believe that right now, God can begin to refresh your spirit right where you are. You don't have to come down to the altar to be refreshed in the Spirit of God. We're going to pray right where we are because you can receive it anywhere. Lord, I pray that you would begin to refresh people. Lord, you see people that are weary in their body, that have gone for a full day of work, God. Lord, I pray you would refresh them physically, Lord. But it's not just a physical refreshing that you want to give us, Lord. It's a spiritual refreshing, God. Not just for our own benefit, but so that we may go, Lord. So that we may proclaim your gospel. So that we may be like rivers of living water, Lord, flowing in our community. Oh, Jesus, God, I pray you would refresh us tonight. I pray you would help us tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help us tonight, oh Lord. Help us tonight, oh Lord. And I wonder if you could do something different with me tonight. I wonder if you could just do something a little different. Would you mind turning around where you are and stretching your hands out to DeQuinder Road? Would you mind doing that? Just turning around right where you are in your pew. Would you just begin to stretch your hands out towards DeQuinder Road? Because I want what happens here to flow out of this place. God, if the only water that flows in this sanctuary, then we have done something wrong and we have missed it. Let's pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for those people, Lord, that are even driving right now, God. Lord, it's not enough if there's just water flowing in this room, God, but let it be water that flows, God, under the doors, God, and out into the street, as it were, Lord. I pray that spiritually we can see a river, Lord, flowing from this church, God, into our community, Lord, that would draw people in the name of Jesus, God, a river that would not run dry, God. But if we're going to be a well, God, it has to come from us, oh Lord. It's not just enough for it to happen on Sundays, oh God. We have to embrace it, Lord. Let me be a well and not just a cistern. Let me be a well and not just a cistern, oh Lord. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Oh, can we just give God thanks as you turn back around? Could you just give God thanks? We thank you tonight, oh Lord. We thank you tonight, oh Lord. We thank you tonight, oh Lord. We thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. The last thing I want to pray for you, I want to pray over you as I read the writing in Acts when it says to save yourself towards from this untoward generation, from this perverse generation. I just feel that same call that I want to pray over you, that you would have the strength and confidence not in yourself. Because again, if we're confident in ourselves, the moment we get so confident in our own Christianity and our own ability and our own religious ability, what we become is like those Pharisees and those Sadducees, and we are in most danger of falling at that moment. So tonight I want to pray over you, and I want to pray an odd prayer. I want to pray over you that you would be weak in your flesh, in your spirit, as a reminder of the divine power. Because if it doesn't come from God, it's not true strength. If it doesn't come from God, it's not strength, it's pride. So let me just pray over you before we leave this place. Lord, I pray for every single person, God. I pray that we would embrace the weakness of our flesh, because Lord, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to succeed in our walk with you, if we're not going to fall into sin, it's not going to be because of our strength. It's going to be because of your divine power. So Lord, let us be reminded that in my own mind, I am frail. In my own mind, I'm a human. I am a man, God, and I have all the same desires of every other man. But by your power, Lord, we can be safe. By your strength, oh Lord, by divine aid, we can be saved. So I pray for every man and woman, Lord. I pray a covering over their mind. I pray a covering over their home, Lord. I pray a covering over their bodies, Lord. I pray a covering over their spirit, God, that they would save themselves, Lord, from the sin that would so easily beset us, that they would save themselves from the weights that want to ensnare them, Lord, from the traps the enemy lays, Lord. Bless them this week, God. Give them strength that can only come from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God, we thank you tonight. You're a good Father. I thank you for the strength, God, that comes from you. I thank you for the strength that's found in you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday. I don't want to apologize for being fired up, but if I shocked you, I do. I'm sorry for that. If I was a little much on a Wednesday, I'm sorry for that. But I just want our church to be full of wells and not cisterns. Full of wells and not cisterns. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because my hope is that when someone comes in, or if God forbid, if we ourselves come in dry and cracked, it doesn't take the perfect message, it doesn't take the right song, but yet when we can get around other people, as I mentioned, a well, it can spring up from within itself and refresh its surroundings. So I pray that you on your pew are like a well to those around you, because you don't know those that may be dry. You don't know what they may be going through. You don't know, because from the outside, wells and cisterns can look the same. From the exterior, they may present themselves as the same, but again, the well has an internal source of water. That's my prayer for us, that we would be wells and not cisterns. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight on a Wednesday night, our last midweek, but we are starting life groups. Quick announcement and reminder, you can sign up for life groups. I believe tonight you can go right through there. All the signups, everything is ready for you. So if you have not signed up for a life group yet, please go make your way over there before you leave this place. We'll also have signups on Sunday, or you can go to the website as well. Those that have children in VBS, they are still in VBS, but that ends at 8:30. So please don't leave them here with us, or I will give them an espresso and unlimited Jolly Ranchers until you return. And they will be on a sugar high, because that's what you do to my kids when I give them to you in Sunday school. I'm just kidding. But I understand. Thank you so much for being here on a Wednesday night. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you soon.